AK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Election Day 2 weeks from today. Vice President Harris and former President Trump hitting several battleground states. Harris campaigning with former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, a Republican.
In the Detroit suburbs, Cheney reminding voters what Trump did on January 6th.
He watched law enforcement officers be brutally beaten. He watched it. That's a depravity.
And on the issue of reproductive rights, Cheney, a staunch opponent of abortion rights while in Congress, arguing some Republican states have gone too far.
That's ABC's Mary Bruce. Donald Trump in North Carolina saying he found new faith in God after the assassination attempt in Pennsylvania this summer. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel, his 11th trip to the region since the conflict began in October of 2023. The NTSB is back on the scene of the deadly helicopter crash in Houston, Texas. The chopper slammed into a radio tower and burst into flames on Sunday, killing all four on board. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A new study finds 830 people in Wisconsin were killed by guns in 2022. That includes homicides and suicides. That's more people than died in car crashes. The numbers come from the Wisconsin Anti-Violence Effort Education Fund. More than three-fourths of people shot to death in Wisconsin were Black. Vice President Kamala Harris is making her case to conservatives in a Wisconsin city once known as a Republican stronghold. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
Brookfield's role in our battleground state could be a big deal. Of all the Waukesha County communities, it's one seeing a farther shift left, and it's likely one of the reasons Vice President Kamala Harris picked the place to campaign. Topics included abortion, Social Security, and national security. With the Vice President in Brookfield, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Duluth International Airport and Pine River Regional Airport will be receiving federal funding for infrastructure improvements. On Monday, Congressman Pete Stauber announced $1 million of funding to replace the air traffic control tower at the Duluth Airport and over $1 million of funding to replace a general aviation terminal building at the Pine River Airport. The air traffic control tower at the Duluth Airport is one of the oldest in the country, and plans to replace that tower have been in the works for months. An inmate who had escaped from the St. Louis County Jail was taken back into custody on Friday. According to law enforcement authorities, inmate LaRon Brown was being seen for a medical visit at the Fairview Range Medical Center in Hibbing on Thursday when he fled from the guard who accompanied him. He was found on Friday morning after an extensive law enforcement search in the area and was taken back into custody with additional charges expected. He is currently serving a sentence for felony domestic assault. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
NBA basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NBA regular season begins tonight in Boston with the Celtics against the New York Knicks. The Bucks are headed to Philadelphia to face the 76ers in their season opener tomorrow. Word is Chris Middleton will not play, still recovering from surgery on both of his ankles. Baseball, game one of the World Series, not until Friday night when the Dodgers host the Yankees. The last time the two teams competed in the Fall Classic was 1981. The Brewers making changes to their coaching staff. Al LaBeouf and Eric Tyson have been promoted to hitting coaches. Ozzie Timmons is out after three seasons with the team. College football, the Badgers with a night game this week. They host number 3 ranked Penn State Saturday night. The Packers are in Jacksonville Sunday against the Jaguars. Kenny Clark on how they move defensive end Rashawn Gary against the Texans, sometimes over the center.
Yeah, it opened up a lot. Just allow him to get on the move, you know, get in the A's and B gaps, you know, so he can use his ability. It was huge for us, and he had a lot of pressures off of it.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly cloudy this afternoon with a sprinkle or two possible by later today. Our high 72 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy and breezy, 42 tomorrow, sunny 53 by Thursday, partly cloudy with a high back up to 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 54.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepollsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Maggie Dawn.
Get out your notepaper and your pens and pencils, folks. I'm dropping all the voting tips and detailed logistics that you need to ensure that your vote counts this November 5th. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother,
I
can dig it.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Calvin, did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, it's finally starting to register, man.
I think you did that without paper, right?
Yeah, man.
Holy cow.
It's starting to wind up in my memory. That's kind of scary. So how you doing, Calvin?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
80 degrees yesterday, man. What'd you do? Stay in the house?
Well, I produced Maggie's show yesterday, so I was here a little late. But yeah, it was a beautiful day.
All right, all right. It's Tuesday, right? So that means none other than Sandy Williams is in the studio, my co-host. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
Good morning. New studio, new place, new digs. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. We were just talking, man. You and I were at the beginning of things, and we were over on Brady Street in a little storefront.
Little storefront. I think it was someplace that used to cut hair, and then we settled in.
Yeah. and the square footage of it must have been, I don't know what, 50 yeah. by 50? I don't know.
It used to be a phone booth, and then it converted.
And we were sitting right in the storefront window.
Yeah.
And certainly have come a long way, and we're excited about the new digs at WRJN here in Racine. But a lot to talk about this morning, Sandy. But before we get into all the different things we're going to talk about, the Bucks are on the horizon. And you and I have an affinity for the Bucks.
Absolutely. You're seeing what the roster is going to look like.
Yeah.
Apparently, we have the Antetokounmpo brothers again, so that's kind of surprising, but there you go.
You know, Giannis made a statement, and Giannis is the kind of guy who's making, once he makes a statement, it kind of creates a life of its own. And he said, well, if we don't, this is, this past weekend, yeah. if we don't win the championship, the Bucks may trade me. And you figure, well, okay. But it took on a life of its own.
Well, but, you know, just logic would tell you the same thing. And if you're a fan, this guy's almost 30 years old, or maybe he is 30 this year. And so his years in the future are somewhat limited. His value on the trade, you know, he's a terribly expensive player. He's a big piece. They've got an old team. They've got to have to do something to
and no draft choices.
No draft choices. So they're going to have to make a trade at some point that gives them a bunch of draft choices. Well, who could that possibly be?
You know, he is the guy. He is coming off of a 30-point, I don't know, 10-rebound, 6 assists, shooting over 60%.
Yeah, but you know, those of us who watched every game, he had all those great numbers, but you know, it never looked like that his play alone could carry the team, that the team required backup players that could complement him, and not backup players, but complementary players. They trade for Lillard thinking that's the key. He didn't have a great season. And, you know, you pretty much knew that they didn't have the team that was going to go all the way last year, in spite of the fact that he was putting up those kind of numbers.
Well, you know, Sandy, it's a team game.
Yeah.
And as great as Giannis was, he's also arguably one of the best defensive players in the entire league. His worth is probably at its highest level right now as we speak.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, he probably doesn't magnify the value of other players quite as much as someone like Jokic or some of the other
right.
players who are
great at
assists and moving the ball. So, you know, anyway, I hope they have a great season. The jury's out.
Well, yeah, the jury's out. You know, Chris Middleton is hurt. What else is new?
Yeah.
You know, you know, you count on that guy. He makes $39 million a year. I mean, they're paying him quite well.
That doesn't hurt.
No, it's paying him quite well. And so this has got to be the last year that they're going to he's shown that he's vulnerable. He's injury prone.
Yeah.
And he's pretty fragile. And so it doesn't make sense to keep paying $39 million to a guy, even though I love his game, but it doesn't make sense to keep paying $39 million to a guy who is so injury prone.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how long we can go with this, but you look at the roster. Lopez has only got a couple of years left. Middleton's in his 30s. Giannis is getting right up there. And after you get past those four, it's a very unremarkable roster. And so they've definitely going to have to make some moves in the not-too-distant future, or they'll find themselves in a long-term rebuild. And so the only way you avoid a long-term rebuild is you take a piece that's worth a lot, and you get a lot for it.
So we got a lot of things we're going to talk about today. What we're going to do is also open the phone lines to you, the listening audience, to share your thoughts on this election. Where you know, a couple weeks out, where you think is headed and why. You know, we're at a point, and I was talking to Sandy about this earlier. You know, Sandy, Donald Trump, let's say Donald Trump loses, or if he wins, you know, 4 years, he's still going to be lame duck. 4 years is all he can expect, or people can expect, is he'll get 4 years. And I don't think that he can end the world in 4 years. So there'll be an after Donald Trump. And so where do people think, Sandy?
Well, I just think that, the question is how much damage can someone do in 4 years if what you're worried about is the president doing damage to the system? Well, the president has a great deal of control over international affairs. He has a great deal of control over the military. He's the commander-in-chief. He can use that military potentially in ways that it hasn't been used in the past. He's talking about trying to use it domestically to deal with immigrant issues. He's got a great deal of power associated with prosecution and the prosecution, for instance, of immigrants. Because the Justice Department and the ICE and those all lie within the executive branch that he has control over. So, as between tariffs and the unilateral power of the presidency with respect to tariffs, with respect to international affairs, with respect to the military, and the full range of executive powers and executive orders, even though it's a lame duck period, I think there is a great deal that Donald Trump can do, which for some people will seem to be potentially very, very troublesome and potentially damaging to our system. Erecting very high tariffs is potentially very inflationary, could be very damaging to the economy, can very much change the supply chain, cause a lot of problems in that regard. Using the military, for instance, to round up immigrants and to deport millions of of people who have tried to immigrate to the country could have a big impact on the economy as well as a social impact, a very big social impact.
So, Sandy, maybe, you know, it didn't come out right when I asked the question, when I mentioned about Donald Trump will get these 4 years and that, you know, the world's going to, you know, still be here after he's gone. The point that I was trying to make is for those people who continue to support Donald Trump, and whether he wins or loses, he's changed the way elections are looked at and run in this nation forever.
Yes.
And so I wonder what people think about that. I wonder if they even give that a second thought.
Well, I think that, you know, he has done this. I think, quite frankly, ever since Karl Rove, I think the Republican Party has, in a very premeditated way, attempted to look at the laws as they're written, look at the system as it's designed, and figure out how they can work the edge of that envelope to put the Republican Party in the very most powerful position possible. How can the Electoral College process be best exploited in order to assure that Republicans win? How can districts best be designed, gerrymandered? How can the districts best be designed to put Republicans in the most powerful position in state houses and in the House of Representatives? So, you know, I think what's happened is that there's been a very cynical approach taken to the process of politics that has been adopted and accepted by a wide range of people. And we should understand that this lawyering, this very slick kind of shrewd lawyering that's being done to find the slalom course of the laws that can be skied around to make sure that what would seem to be the norm can be bent so that it's within the law, but outside the norms. And I'm afraid that that's where we've evolved. We've gotten to a place where the things that the people would believe would be the logical outcome of the laws isn't the outcome we're seeing because slick lawyering is taking us and finding the slalom course, much the way Enron found the slalom course through the accounting rules to set up a house of cards as a business.
So we're going to get into the law that they are skirting around. But I would also add, Sandy, that Democrats and Republicans haven't always seen eye to eye. They've always been adversarial. But I don't think, as a matter of fact, I know in my lifetime, it's never been an enemy of one another. Donald Trump has created, now that's my enemy.
Yeah.
And people have bought into that.
Well, you know, he's talking about how the lunatic left, they're more dangerous than the outside enemies, that the people who aren't loyalists. You know, I've never seen a situation where an election result is going to create despair amongst at least approximately half of the population, regardless of which way it goes.
You know, Sandy, when you create the environment, once Donald Trump again is gone, this divide hating the Democrats, average citizens hating other citizens, is not going to go away. And that's the inherent fear. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax on everyday products. It will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed, and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you. So before we go to the phone lines.
Well, the music. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Today's music won't seem like it's got a theme running through it, except there is a theme. And the music is all stuff that, where either the songwriter or the performer asked Donald Trump or demanded that Donald Trump stop using their music because of the fact that they didn't want to be apparently in a position of in any way condoning Trump or backing Trump as a candidate. And let me tell you, I had a really long list of music that I could select from. I've got a little notebook here that's got 6 pages of names of performers or songwriters who demanded that Trump stop using their music. So, you know, it's sort of a reverse kind of a process for many celebrities, at least, with respect to how they feel about Donald Trump.
So, Sandy, you and I were talking, talking about Donald Trump and the fact that you were saying, I was saying to you that I talked with some friends who whose family members are supporting Donald Trump, and they've said to me that they've kind of had to stop even communicating and spending time with their own family members who are MAGA now.
Yeah, I mean, the heat has gotten so great between the divide. And what I don't understand, here's what I don't understand, is that people seem to feel very strongly personally about Donald Trump and defending Donald Trump as the person. Not, you know, people will say, well, I hate Donald Trump, it's the policies, but it really seems to be the person that many people want to defend. And I don't get it, because if you sat down at a bar next to this person and they turned and they started talking to you the way Donald Trump talks, where he would tell you what a great golfer he was, where he would tell you how terribly smart he was, where he would tell you that everyone else was, all these people were stupid, where he would start calling people names and coming up with nicknames and derogatory nicknames for people. I think most people would find an excuse to go to the bathroom, and when they came back to the bar, they'd sit at the other end. You know, I don't think people would enjoy being near this person or would think that this person represents a person that they want to be like. And his most recent behavior, his discussion of Arnold Palmer and of that discussion and the craziness of it, you know, the what it seems to say about Donald Trump and what he's interested in, his use of words, I don't know. I mean, I don't understand how this person has come to brand himself in such a successful way where people overlook everything about him personally and adopt him, however, as the leader of their movement in a manner that seems to bring with it great loyalty.
The Arnold Palmer thing. Well, you know, he's watching a guy in the shower.
Well, he wishes he was washing him in the shower because he wanted to talk about how other people were watching him in the shower.
But to be on the presidential campaign.
Yeah.
And with all the cameras watching you and all the things in the world to talk about.
Arnold Palmer's daughter quickly came to Arnold Palmer's defense in terms of saying, yeah, he didn't think much of Donald Trump. Arnold Palmer didn't. But
what happens in your mind you bring something like that up in front of the world?
Well, you've lost your filter, for one thing. You know, and you probably didn't. Didn't have one to begin with. That doesn't, even on an unfiltered basis, that's a pretty screwy conversation. And the other, this has come up quite regularly, his use of terms. Henry, talking about Weinstein.
Oh, yeah.
And his description of him getting what, schlonged, I think he said, which I guess can be used over the FAA radio waves, but is an indecent term, you know? And just extraordinary that this is the way someone who wants to be president talks and thinks.
And the fact that people who support him tolerate that. They think that that's okay. Wouldn't say it's okay if anybody else said it.
Calling his opponent retarded.
Oh, yeah.
Describing the IQ of everyone who speaks out against him as being stupid, retarded, low IQ. Apparently, he's in a position, he's got some IQ meter. that he's capable of judging everyone's IQ, which suggests that his is off the charts, which doesn't seem to be consistent with how he talks, what his stream of conscience seems to be, or the fact that he made sure before he described to people the fact that he supposedly was first in his class at Wharton School at University of Pennsylvania. The first thing he did before he said that was to have his lawyer call Pennsylvania to assure that they would never release his transcript under any circumstances.
You know, Sandy, it is a calumny, not so much even against him, but the fact that people totally ignore those things that he's saying. They don't matter, okay, to people. And my issue is, Sandy, it mattered before to people.
Yeah.
It mattered whoever that person was. They didn't tolerate that, be they Democrat or Republican, yet they're tolerating it now.
Well, I think it's because, like I said, the cynicism of politics has gotten to the point where it's all about winning and it's not about anything else. And so if all you care about is winning, and if you think for some reason in your head that Donald Trump is a guy who can win, you're going to accept everything about him so long as you win, including patent kind of corruption, at least a moral corruption.
All right, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. In-person early voting starts today in Wisconsin. 2 million people are expected to vote in the battleground state. Not only is there the race for president, but control of the U.S. House and Senate are on the line, and new maps could change the dynamic of the Wisconsin legislature. New research is debunking old notions about bullying. Child psychologist Shelley Heimel has looked closely into bullying. She says it does not make kids more resilient.
Kids who are victimized, you know, just sit there all day wondering what's going to happen to them next. I've had notes from kids saying how that's their life.
British researchers found people who were bullied as kids face a higher risk of unstable employment as adults and of premature death. October is Bullying Prevention Month. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. As rain continues to elude the Chippewa Valley, officials are warning of rising wildfire danger across western Wisconsin. According to fire officials, October is on track to be the driest on record in Eau Claire, and departments across the region have been responding to wildfires. Due to the higher wildfire danger, all western Wisconsin counties currently have a burning permit restriction in place. DNR officials are reminding residents not to burn their garbage and stay vigilant with hot machinery until the region finally gets some rain. The Cloquet-Carlton County Airport has received $250,000 in federal funding to assist with infrastructure improvements. Senator Amy Klobuchar visited the airport last week to announce the new funding, which will be used for the construction of a new 11,000-square-foot hangar. Airport officials say there's already 25 people on the waiting list for hangar space at the airport, and the additional space will increase revenue and allow the airport to continue running for the foreseeable future. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. How do you wash the bad taste out of your mouth called Joker Folie Au Deux? You release a new single. That is, if you're Lady Gaga. Gaga says, according to Variety, that she will release the song Disease on October 25th. It will be her first single off her seventh studio album. Gaga surprised fans by releasing an album called Harlequin last month on the heels of the release of the Joker sequel, which was panned by critics. Onward and upward. Rick and Morty fans will rejoice when they hear that the show has been renewed for seasons 11 and 12, which is crazy because season 8 hasn't even dropped yet. The word comes from New York Comic-Con by the show's executive producers Dan Harmon and Scott Martyr. Harmon was born and raised in Milwaukee. Season 8 doesn't actually premiere until 2025, which means the show will be on at least through 2029. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly cloudy this afternoon with a sprinkle or two possible by later today. Our high 72 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy and breezy, 42 tomorrow, sunny 53 by Thursday, partly cloudy with a high back up to 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, she is a candidate for State Senate District 18. Kristen Alfheim will be here. We'll wrap everything up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you'll join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things.
things in a different way. And God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. Yeah. We're living on the edge.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you. We go right to the phone lines. Tom from L.A., you say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. First, I want to say that Donald Trump and the MAGA men are obsessed with hypermasculinity, and they're obsessed with the penis. It is amazing to me. I really think that anyone that's MAGA men should just come out of the closet already. You guys are just a joke. I mean, you're more obsessed about a guy's junk than gay men are. It's crazy to me. But also, I want to say, Earl, I'm going to push back a little bit. If we elect Kamala Harris, we have an opportunity, whether you're on the right or the MAGA, you have an opportunity still to have a democracy. I know you're saying that the world will go on after if Trump was elected. It won't. We are going to see a very different world. Civic media will be gone. He's already said ABC News will be gone. He's already said these things. These are the things he said. He said this on Fox. I guess I saw a clip of it because I don't watch Fox. But he talked to voters in a Bronx barbershop, and he said, what do we need all these departments for? We only need one person to be handling all of this and maybe a couple others. He is reading right out of Project 2025. He may call it Project 2026 when he gets elected. He may call it Agenda 40, whatever he'll call it. But the thing is, this is what they want to do. He's an authoritarian, and I'm going to stress the word dick because he loves the dick so much. Authoritarian dictator.
Hey, Tom, I don't know if you can use that verbiage on the air. You know, I want to say this to you, Tom. You know, I'm not unmindful of the inherent dangers with Donald Trump becoming president of the United States. I mean, To think that I'm not is just not correct. But I don't believe that Donald Trump is going to be able to wave a magic wand, Sandy, and totally destroy the world as we know it. I don't think he can unilaterally get rid of all the media that he doesn't like.
Well, I don't think he can accomplish necessarily all that he says. But he has already accomplished a great deal in terms of a destruction of the societal norms that have been the flywheel of our society for a long time. You know, norms are the things that we operate within that cause us. It's civility. It's the way we treat one another with mutual respect. It's the kind of stuff that doesn't have to be written down as law that causes things to work as they should work. And when you start, first of all, he's from the very beginning been a candidate who announced that he operated outside the norms, but his attack on the norms has been contagious, I'm afraid, societally contagious, and I'm afraid that more and more of our society is beginning to behave outside the norms, things that used to be inaudible dog whistles, which involved at least some level of respect for norms, the things that people thought that were antisocial, they kept quiet about, have become audible. Okay, the dog whistles are now sounding. We can hear them. We are talking about them. Tribalism has reared its ugly head, and a lot of that has to do with leadership or negative leadership, and I'm afraid that Donald Trump has had a lot to do with it. It might have been latent. He's tapped into something that is there, but he's uncorked the bottle of populism. And we now have, I guess, the problems associated with populism. I mean, back in the French Revolution days, they called it the rabble. But populist movements tend to be something that is that requires a leader, someone to manifest this view and to stroke it and to stoke it. And so I'm afraid that when Donald Trump disappears, this movement might find someone else like him, and probably will, unless we can tamp it down, unless we can get back to norms, okay? And that's my fear, that 4 years of Donald Trump will take us further outside the boundary of norms. And norms are important. I'm not talking about woke kind, the things that people would call woke. I'm talking about decency. I'm talking about civility. And we need to get back to decency and civility. And Donald Trump attacks those very norms.
So, Sandy, he's awakened the fears of people who won't accept the fact that change in the United States is inevitable. The United States is never going back to what it was. It is an evolving reality, as the rest of the world is. And so for people who are frightened and fearful that things are changing and I'm not going to be, you know, in a position of, you know, leadership and control
right
anymore, and they don't want to let that go.
Well, here's what's happened. I mean, let me use an analogy. When the United States came out of World War II, we had a 25-year period where we were the only economy that was thriving because the rest of the world was on its knees as the result of that war. We were mighty and powerful. We were mighty and powerful much the way a seventh-grade kid is who's grown before everyone else. The seventh-grade kid who's 6'2", shaves in the morning, and has muscles, okay? Yeah. And he's got a different position amongst his peers in seventh grade than he does
yes.
his senior year in high school, when everybody's caught up to him and everybody's got what it takes to compete with him, okay? And in many respects, that's what happened with respect to the United States' might in the world. We were in a unique position, and what we can't do is ignore the realities of the fact that the rest of the world has caught up to us. So can we continue to be as mighty as we were in 1960? Impossible. We can't recreate that circumstance either economically or militarily. And so the United States needs to get an evolving view of the world realities, and we as Americans need to have an evolving view of what America is like. We're now 340 million people. When you and I were in high school, we were 225 million people. When we were in high school, the demographics of the United States were very different than they are today in terms of where people lived, what the demographic looked like of where people lived, and what the demographic was of the American population. The American demographic is evolving. We've moved geographically. Milwaukee used to be the 11th biggest city in the country, and now we're 30th.
Right.
Okay. Everybody who passed us is south of the Mason-Dixon line. You know, Milwaukee used to be as a city, 15% to 18% African American. Now it's much greater than that. Many of those people moved to Wisconsin over that time
right.
period. Things have evolved nationally, internationally. Facts have changed. We've got to wake up and look at reality. And I'm afraid that Donald Trump, this whole again thing, the last A of MAGA, is really just an attempt for everyone to put their head in the sand and try and hope, wish for, to get back to something that can't be duplicated and shouldn't be duplicated.
You know, Sandy, that is as well said as almost anything that you've ever discussed. I'm in total agreement with your assessment of what has happened. Let's go back to the phone lines. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Brenda from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brenda. You say what?
Wow. What are they pumping into that studio? Sandy, what are they looking to get back to? Come on. Call it for what it is. What they're looking to get back to is the 1950s where brown people were second-class citizens. You guys are talking about this like this is a two-piece chessboard. It's not. You're not even talking about the Supreme Court that is conservative-leaning. You're not talking about the House of Representatives and the Senate that already has the chess pieces in place. You guys are acting like some kind of this is going to be some kind of 4-year experiment. It's not. the military will be turned against the people that protest against him, and this will turn into a dictatorship. So stop with the, well, 4 years, and he can only do this, he can only do that. No, the chess pieces are already in place.
So Brendan, let me ask you. So in 4 years' time, Donald Trump is going to turn the entire United States into a dictatorship. The military is going to be totally controlled. Even after Donald Trump is gone, the earth that we knew it is going to be flat. And I'm not saying that Donald Trump is not going to do some things that are going to change things from the way we see them now. I'd be foolish to think that that's not going to happen. But to think that Donald Trump is going to become a total king and the entire government of the United States is going to change forever, I don't believe that.
Well, let me intervene here, because I might lean closer to Brendan than I do to Earl on this one, in that I think that the effort, that I do think the pieces are in place. I think that the Senate, Republicans at least, have indicated they have absolutely no capacity to stand up to Donald Trump, to criticize him, or to not fall in place with whatever he asks for or demands. At these, you can look at the bipartisan immigrant bill that Donald Trump squashed just by uttering a couple of words and frightening the Republican Senate back into its place. I do think that it's altogether probable that Donald Trump will try to use the military in ways that hasn't been used before. We all know from things that have been written by people who came out of the past his first administration that there were many people in his cabinet who got in his way when he wanted to do something that was outlandish and autocratic and told him that he couldn't do it. And he's now indicated he has every intention of making sure that he never appoints to his cabinet anybody like that again. He talks regularly about how the generals are a part of the enemy of the Republic, and that he needs to make sure that the generals that he puts in place, and he, as commander-in-chief, he has a great deal of power to do this. He appoints the chiefs of staff that they won't be the kind of people who will say no when he says he wants to shoot the demonstrators in the knees, like he did that day when he came out and held the Bible upside down in Washington during the period of a demonstration. I think that Donald Trump will try very hard, and the question is whether the checks and balances will work, or whether the cynical government that we've had, the cynical government processes that we've had in place for so long, will cause it to not work. Okay, the check and balance of the Supreme Court. Is the Supreme Court as corrupt as it might seem to be with respect to at least a number of people on the conservative side in terms of their willingness to operate not ideologically conservatively, but politically?
So, Sandy, what it says to me then is that all of these decades that we've talked about our democracy, we've talked about our Bill of Rights, we talked about our Constitution, and we've held these things up as the great pillars that they have supposedly been throughout all these decades and a couple centuries. And yet, one man can show just how fallible.
Well, we've got a movement.
And how weak. It really is.
This man is the spearhead of a movement, okay? And, just look at what's happened to the First Amendment freedom of religion concept, where one side believes that it involves installing religion in schools, and another side believes that it means the government and all government entities stay out of religion, okay? I mean, there's different ways to interpret these things.
And so at the root of all of those things, oh, listen. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. You can join the conversation. Sandy Williams is holding down the fort, as always, my co-host on the Earl Ingram Show.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
This is the story of the one. As a facility technician installing a new welding station, he knows getting the ventilation right is critical for safety. That's why when questions arise, there's Grainger. Grainger offers detailed technical product information online at his fingertips, so it's easy to find what he needs. Because when it comes to safety, having answers means he and his people can breathe a little easier. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X, and I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote, or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. That means my co-host Sandy Williams is in the studio, and boy, are we having a conversation. You can join us as well.
Let me just to continue the conversation we were having, though, just for a little bit, my concern about the situation is that our government has worked for a long time because of the operation of people within the norms operating. So they aren't always testing the letter of the law. They aren't. We haven't required courts to intervene so very often to constrain the conduct of people in high places in our government. Donald Trump, to the extent that you get someone in power, or a movement comes to power, or a political party comes to power that wants to constantly get outside the norm, the expectation of what is the norm, and move in the direction of testing the letter of the law, you end up having to implement the courts. The courts have to intervene to constrain the conduct of people who operate outside the norms. Well, how quickly do our courts operate? You know, we have cases that have been pending against Donald Trump for years. Courts don't operate quickly, and when they do operate, they don't really have any forceful mechanism to enforce the law other than people simply acquiescing to the law. Well, did Donald Trump acquiesce to the conduct of 60 courts who litigated the 2020 election? No. He continued to operate outside the norm of accepting the court decisions and continued to assert what, in fact, the courts had found was not true, which was that the election of 2020 was stolen. Okay? So if we have someone who's going to operate outside the norms, and we have only the courts to rely upon to keep things within the boundaries of the law, it's going to be a very difficult process because, quite frankly, courts only work if people are willing to then respond to their decisions within the norms.
So for those people who continue to support Donald Trump after, you know, a conversation like the one we are having right now and the long-term implications of what is going to transpire, even after he's gone, they need to understand that the world that we know, the nation that they love, is going to be forever changed.
Well, I think it's going to be forever affected, okay? And yes, changed. I mean, everything changes. Everything evolves. I just fear that the direction of action that is being triggered right now is a very harmful one, and that the evolutionary path that the American democracy might be on or set itself upon could be very destructive. And this is something that the people do have a control over, okay? And so, you know, I think that a very telltale fact where we've come is this notion that J.D. Vance, that Donald Trump continue to talk about the 2020 election as having been stolen, is to defy the law and to operate outside the norm in that regard by defying the result of 60 litigations to simply go ahead and assert something because it's politically convenient.
All right, let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
What I say is that, first of all, I love your conversations, and this one is something that I have been thinking about for the past couple of weeks. People have to understand you have to follow the law. The rule of law is what keeps us civilized. And what has happened is that one political party has turned this over and made a mockery of our rule of law. And we have to get back to what we consider norm. And I totally agree with that. And stop this arguing and bickering. This is the same thing, if you really look at it, is what happened in Germany in the 30s. It wasn't that they took over the country just like it was little by little by little. And they found something or some people that they could belittle, and eventually they exterminated 6 million people. And what we have to do is get back to civilized norm, and we have to listen, and we have to accept what the courts say and do, and we have to move on, and we have to grow. Nothing is ever going to be the same. Our families aren't the same. Our demographics are not the same, but we have to keep on looking towards the future and growing in the things that are important to us, like our children, like our communities. They're growing, and we have different religions and different people coming into this United States, and we have to learn to accept each other. But keep on going. I love your show.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much for the call. As always, guys, hang on the phone lines, 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, entertainment reporter Chris Foran. And it's Bob Odenkirk's birthday, so we'll discuss some of his best films and TV shows.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Will you dress up for Halloween, and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wore a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume, and it goes on over your other clothes, so I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.